the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hiridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts, the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibited precepts, not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in the stole of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply bow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dityampi tatyampi samaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
What shall we look at this morning?
Well, I've been looking at the body and the relationship with the body, and how it really is our best friend in terms of being here, this mm-hmm. here now.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't know how to be anywhere else, does
yeah.
it?
Yeah, yeah, and I've often, over the years, have looked at caring for the body as something I do for the body, and that is shifting, that perception is shifting to being more of a real partnership.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So you're still not the body, but instead of you being sort of in charge of the body, it's more like you're equal partners.
Yeah, like a real marriage.
Like a marriage.
Yeah. I really have, I think of, I think it was C.S. Lewis that said, you don't have a soul, you are a soul, you have a body.
Aha. Uh-huh.
That quote from him.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and so all these months and years that I've been like, I want a partner, and here it was right under my nose.
Your nose was a part of it, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. it really is. Because it's such a mutually beneficial is not really the right word, but it's just a not two, not one mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Not two, not one.
That's why the image of marriage or the metaphor of marriage seems mm-hmm. to work for me for that.
What would you say is that's not the body? That's that part of that side of the marriage?
Whatever it is that animates the body.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a... Again, it's tricky to talk about because it's not two. It's not like it.
It's not. There's not a separate self.
Right. Right.
Which would make it two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I noticed. So my mother died recently, and I was, and what struck me, looking at her body, was that's what we were really saying goodbye to.
Mm.
Because I have every belief or sense or whatever that she's around. Because life is still, it's mm-hmm. life's around. But what we were putting into the ground is the body that I was so intimate with, I cared for, I curled its hair and washed and knew so well, and, you know, for all the years of my life, really. Mm-hmm. So it feels like that is a distinction.
Mm-hmm. So she was not her body. She also wasn't, I mean, I'm guessing that what you're talking about is that which sort of still exists of her. That's not it's not her personality. Like, her personality is not floating around. It's more like the spirit essence. It's like that which animates.
Yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you're seeing, so that's kind of a mirror for you, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That so you're not the body, but you have a body, and yet it's different from you have a body. It's more, there's like a partnership or a marriage.
Yeah.
I think what we're trying to do is get around the I.
Yeah.
And talking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, the body is nothing without that which animates it. It's just stuff, you know. Right?
Uh-huh.
But there's nothing, so there's not a me that is the animating force.
Right, right.
The body is, well, it's all one thing.
Yeah.
But there's kind of like you can look at it as if there's two aspects to it.
Yeah, yeah. And as you're saying that, what's dropping in was as I was, again, spent looking at her body, what I was so deeply struck with a deep reverence for that form.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I mean, it was such a trooper.
Mm. Oh, yeah. All those years
through not a little abuse, you know, smoking for some years and too much sugar and, mm-hmm. you know, arthritis. I mean, just all kinds mm-hmm. of, and so it's hard to say what it was that was, that was her, that, mm-hmm. that was such a trooper, but I was just projecting on that body. It just served everybody so well. Mm-hmm. Served all of her children, all of her grandchildren, all of her. It served, mm-hmm. and the deep reverence that I felt for that, it again, it's a mirror for this mm-hmm. you know, instrument mm-hmm. of awakening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was seeing that too, because I remember Sherry said that several times recently.
Yeah.
That we can't awaken without a body.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice way to say that this. What it is an instrument of awakening. Yeah. We can also say, like, in the context, like with your mother and with us too, it's an instrument of service.
Yeah.
It's an instrument of participation.
Yeah.
Of experiencing physical, you know, life on the physical plane.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's like a vehicle for life to have those particular experiences,
yeah.
or to affect things also.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Which is kind of linked in with the service element of it, mm-hmm. right? It's just a real kind of mystery that's fun to sort of look at from all these different angles, because then it comes back to, you know, the care that we have. Or show, or, you know, like, you know, we have, I've kind of gotten into the stickers now, you know, mm-hmm. and we have the little, and so many of the daily practices are around
body
mm-hmm. stuff.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know
what I mean. Think about it. What else do we have, really?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that is really pretty much the end of the line.
Yeah.
You know, this is it.
This is it.
Yeah.
Even sitting in meditation, really, mm-hmm. It's the form. It's the form that is sitting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I hear that as you're looking at this, it sounds like motivated or inspired to practice that care.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To really, especially with that reverence, you know, seeing having that reverence for the body, that appreciation for the body, seeing what it does,
mm-hmm.
and how it. You just, you know, it's hard to talk about without using you, but how it serves you,
mm-hmm.
that you want to really care for that and practice caring for that.
Yes, and again, not from a separate.
This is my body, so I have to.
Yeah, I need to take care of my body, mm-hmm. like it's some sort of a burden or something, mm-hmm. you know, because so when I'm doing yoga or running or whatever, that it's. I wish I could think of a different way to express it, but it's like, so in a marriage, you know, you're just kind of going along as a married couple, and then something, then there's sort of signs that there's something wrong, sort of like in your body, there's signs of something wrong. Yeah, an ache. And boy, your attention goes there, and it really brings, okay, we really want to work on this.
Oh yeah, we're married.
Yes, exactly.
We've got something going here.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It's not just me and this other person. It really is one, mm-hmm. you know, in a way that grabs our attention.
Yeah. Of course, with this marriage too, there's no divorce possible.
That's right.
So it really ups the motivation.
Yeah. It's really until death do us part.
It really is. Boy, talk about experiencing consequences.
Yeah.
You know, if we don't, how would you talk about it in terms of marriage? Work on our marriage or something? Mm-hmm. You know, if we don't really put the attention and the effort and the time into that, we really experience the consequences.
Yeah. Yeah. Much more. My experience much more immediate than marriage, but very real nonetheless.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Penny.
Well, I can relate to that whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I like that notion of, you know, it's not like I have this thing I have to take care of. And yeah. It really is indivisible.
Indivisible.
And yet. It's not exactly the same thing.
I know, that's the part that I think we're trying dancing around. It's very hard to talk about, isn't it?
You know, one time I was in the park with my dog, and she killed a squirrel. She caught a squirrel, and it wasn't quite dead. And I watched it die. Mm-hmm. And the minute it was dead, something wasn't there. It was amazing.
You can tell.
It wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And what is that? But it wasn't there. Mm-hmm. So it was a really graphic moment of... There's a point at which the relationship does divide.
Right.
Something goes on, but meanwhile we're here. This is mm-hmm. this is the container. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking about what gratitude, you know, I feel for, you know, as was just said, you know, kind of the trooper. Mm-hmm. That the body is
just plugging along all this time.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, for the most part, I've treated, or the body has been treated well, but you know, there were years of smoking and there was... Mm-hmm.
We all go through that at some point, don't we?
All that jello growing up and like...
Margarine.
And it's just been really interesting of late, because I'm at a... This body is at a point where it doesn't heal as fast, doesn't respond as fast. So I have tendonitis right now going on, and some other things, and I can see that I can either be irritated at it, you know, mm-hmm. or there can be this chance to say, well, we seem to be entering a different period. Mm-hmm. So how do we enter it the best we can? Mm-hmm. You know, how do we work together so that whatever we're running into, we're ready. As ready as we can be.
Yeah, that image of the marriage really works there too, doesn't it? Like I think about maybe a partner getting sick or getting hurt or something. The other one, hopefully, is not going to get irritated at that person for all of the trouble that is being caused, but it's an opportunity for care and for expressing love and appreciation and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. We have a dear friend who hiked with us for years, and these long walks we would take, you know, and had a stroke just a couple years ago.
And a couple of years ago?
A couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. It's been fascinating to watch her relationship, because she was somebody who worked out and played tennis, and she was in her late 70s when she had the stroke. And I just have such regard for how she's responded to that, because it would be easy to feel like your body betrayed you, or mm-hmm. and she'll say, this is the worst thing that ever happened to me. Mm-hmm. Well, it probably is. Mm-hmm. But she celebrates every single thing she does. You know, mm-hmm. like she has a new cane, and now she can walk around the upstairs and can walk upstairs, can't walk downstairs yet. Mm-hmm. But she celebrates each of those things. It's not like, oh God, you know, mm-hmm. at least I can do this now. I mean, it's from the moment it happened, we've been in touch with her, and it's just like, that capacity to get it, that she's in a different place, mm-hmm. and to be, as far as I can tell, as okay as it seemed like it was possible to be in that place, has just been wonderful.
Does it feel like that was a continuation for her, for how she was before?
In the sense that she really paid attention to her body and cared about it.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
But it would be, I mean, I know as someone who's always been healthy and athletic, that when things have happened in my body that I wasn't anticipating, there's been a period of feeling betrayed. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been a period of feeling angry. Mm-hmm. And divorce, I mean, if a divorce were possible, I need to file the papers.
This is not working. I'm out of here.
And I have not sensed that with her. It's been amazing. Mm-hmm. So she's been a model, really, of A, she went into this stroke as healthy as she could possibly be. So if something was bad was going to happen, she had primed herself to be in a position to deal with it better than anybody could.
That's interesting.
Yes. So, mm-hmm. so that's been a real model, too. Mm-hmm. But just the grace, you know, the gracefulness with which she has dealt with it in her own self-consciousness and talking about it and, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, this is where I am now. And it's been remarkable. And so I want to, whoever is inhabiting this mm-hmm. or is working with this wants to be in the same place.
Yeah.
In terms of an attitude, in terms of a, mm-hmm. of a being with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's also a reminder to be grateful for everything the body is willing to do at any given moment.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of not fair to not be grateful and then blame it when something goes wrong. <Exactly. laughs> Yeah, yeah. That's, like, that wouldn't work in a marriage. You have to do kind of both parts.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's so easy, you know, when you're feeling good, you take that so for granted.
Totally for granted.
Totally for granted, because that's how it's supposed to be.
It's supposed to be. Yeah, it should be this way. If it's not, then there's a problem.
Right, and then if something happens, and it's easy to say, well, that's not supposed to happen, and be irritated, and so it's just been. It feels like as. You know, that experience, and I mean, this was a person we walked with, and now she can't do that.
Right.
I mean, it's just very, it's very close to home.
Right.
And to be entering, you know, approaching 70 and entering that time and really getting at that, I want to be as at ease, I want to help this form be as at ease and healthy and ready as it can be with whatever comes.
Yeah, isn't it good to have that awareness and approach it with that kind of intention?
Yeah.
Because I bet a lot of people don't. You know, it's just suddenly something happens. But, you know, just to get it, like, it seems like kind of a nice gift that you've been given in this relationship with this other person.
Oh, yeah, it's been a real
because it makes it really clear, you know, something like that is going to happen to all of us.
That's right.
I mean, for some of us, it might just end really immediately. But, you know, probably for a lot of us, it's going to go on for a while. Mm-hmm. And just to have that understanding, it really changes our relationship with the body, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, there's gratitude. There's also the willingness to really take care of it and prepare the way that she did.
You know? Well, and what I'm seeing, what you're saying, Justin, too, is it's not like, you know, you can get into a posture of I'm doing this so these things won't happen.
Right. That's not.
And then we end up with betrayal.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm doing these things to have us all be as well in as well much well-being as mm-hmm. we can be at any given time, no matter what happens, mm-hmm. that's a whole different place.
Yeah, maybe like I'm thinking of marriage again, you know, because it feels good to love. It feels good to do nice things for someone I love.
Yeah,
it's a completely different motivation. And then that can continue. That same exactly the same attitude of mine continues after the change happens.
Yeah.
It feels good to take care of somebody or something that I mm-hmm. love. And all this happens, the circumstances that changes have changed and the way that manifests has changed.
And it's fun, too, that, again, looking at it as a relationship, to project that even though it doesn't say much, that the body enjoys giving that also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the body enjoys...
Yeah, boy.
Providing that also.
It sure seems to. Yeah, hard to know, but it sure seems to, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it just, like, especially when the mind isn't in the way.
Yeah.
You know, there's just, boom, there's that energy. It's like, yippee. Let's do it. Let's do it while we can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. David.
Well, I'm feeling pretty grateful for this conversation because I've been watching stuff with the body as well, and didn't really know how to talk about it or what to look at it, and so that's really neat. I've actually never been married, so it's going to be a little tricky to mm-hmm. tie that in 100%. But what I've been noticing recently, within the last little while actually, is that every day I seem to, when I get home, I seem to be a different part of the body is in pain, like discernible, you know, mm-hmm. not just like. An ache or something, but genuine, like a tweak, or, you know, like a muscle strain or something like that. And so I was really enjoying what was being put out earlier about kind of how to be in relationship with the body. And I don't necessarily have any place I'm going with that per se, but it's definitely been kind of on the radar screen. And one of the things I was noticing was this drive to overwork the body in a way. So kind of a mindless place with it feels like, and I'm not quite sure, I'm still kind of looking at this, but it feels like thinking that I'm meeting the needs, or I'm getting my needs met. No, that's not really it. There's a place. It's like I've sacrificed. It feels like that there's been a sacrifice to kind of like an identity who is operating and working really hard, but in doing so, it's like, if you will, the marriage is being ignored.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, tell me if this is what you mean, that the body is being put in service to ego. The ego is trying to get its needs met. The body is the vehicle, so the body has to be involved with that. Mm-hmm. But it's not the body's needs that are getting met, it's ego's needs that are getting met.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Like overworking is a classic example, you know.
Yeah.
I don't care what it does to my body. Like imagine sitting in front of the computer way too many hours.
Right.
You know, my back hurts, I don't care. I haven't even been eating enough or at the right times or the right kind of food, I don't care. All that's important is, you know, whatever it might be. I need to feel good about myself because of what I produce.
Yeah.
And so then, and the body just gets completely ignored in that.
Yeah.
And then there's, you know, then there's the effect of that. There's disease and there's pain and there's problems that come, you know, because the body is just being basically used like a tool and then just thrown on the ground when it's not being useful.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, that's really it. You know, what was dropping in as you were saying that, two things. One was kind of this drive by the ego of the need to feel needed, or the need, you know, that place of like, you know, if I can do enough things, then, you know, I'll prove that I'm needed, or prove that I'm worthy of keeping around, or that I should even exist in some ways. And the I I'm using there is the ego we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
There's that drive. And then it leads me a little bit to the question, too, of, and I was looking at this in a different kind of subject area, but I think it could be relevant here, and that was, you know, what is the difference between, like, caring for or taking care versus caretaking?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Say, Sequoia, somebody just pulled up right there. Could you see who that is?
Josh.
Could be, yeah. Yeah, I was looking at that too. Like, for example, like the same outright activities could be done, but just from a different place.
Yeah.
So it could be from a driven sort of place where there's no attention to the body, there's only attention to like completing the task.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be from a place where it's participation with the body, and the body gets to do it in the way that the body feels good for the body, and then it's really healthy.
Yeah.
So, because otherwise it's just so dualistic. It's either do lots and lots of things or don't do a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But what if you know, what if there's a way it could work for all, where we get to do a lot and participate a lot and contribute a lot, but in a way that also contributes to the body instead of trashes it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I like that. And there's really a piece in there too where I think that's where you point at, like kind of what it's supposed to look like in a way too. So I was noticing, you know, even this morning, kind of getting out of the shower, I realized that, you know, it's that same drive, and often like, you know, when I'm drying myself with a towel, like I'm drying really hard. You know, like really scrubbing and really, and I was noticing this morning, like I made a conscious choice to not do that, you know, to change the behavior, if you
mm-hmm.
will, and to actually just dry really kind of in a relaxed manner and go like that. And what I realized with it was I could go just as fast.
Maybe faster.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was scrubbing.
Yeah, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed it in the kitchen too with drying dishes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I'm sometimes surprised that, like, you know,
some of those silver bowls are like in different shapes by now because I'm like pressing so hard to dry it out.
You know, it's interesting because I just ran across this the other day with a lot with, I think this is kind of across the board with sports, but like, you know, baseball or golf or whatever, and I truly don't know, but there's a principle that is offered that 80% effort produces 100% results, or something like that. Like if you try to go for 100%, like if you're gonna try to throw the ball as hard as you possibly can, you won't be able to. But if you put about 80% effort into it, then that's going to produce 100% of what's available, something like that.
I wonder if it's 100%, it's actually focused on the result.
I think probably it is. And then there's no... the point that was being made in this thing I was seeing was... I think one of the points was, you know, you can't be attentive to technique when you're just trying to just gut it, you know, or something.
That's exactly where I was going when you brought that up, was that, like, if I'm trying to put in 100%, then my whole focus is on the result, and I'm not aware of what's going on here.
Right. And then there's not that flow. I can think about drying the dishes, because if you're just... you're just really focused in on it and just trying really hard, everything is clunky and you just keep running into yourself over and over again, basically.
Yeah.
But it's just backing off a little bit, expanding awareness, basically.
That's right.
Which would include, like with sports, that would include the technique. It's not just, I think this is what you're saying, not focusing on the goal. I'm not just trying to hit that ball, however many yards people hit them. But, you know, there's also what's going on, you know, and feeling the body and, you know, maybe even stuff like which direction is the wind going or whatever people pay attention to. So in practice, it's, you know, in the kitchen, expanding awareness. What else is going on around me? You know, can I do this in a way that, like, can I relax the body at the same time? And then, you know, I bet you the efficiency just goes way up.
Totally. Gosh, I'm so happy that you just made that connection for me in terms of bringing, like, it is, that's exactly the movement, what you're saying. It's, if it's not 100% focused on kind of the outcome or the goal or kind of trying to hit it so hard or whatever, there is, I love that, it's, what happens is that pullback, that into the 80%, the awareness does expand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm aware of how I'm drawing the dishes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yet the dishes are still getting very, you know, there's an opening for life to it.
Mm-hmm.
The example that was coming, that you brought into sports, I remember when I was, I was in high school or so, in the summertime, I went to some soccer camp, and one of the drills we had was to, we needed to volley the ball into the goal. That was kind of the deal. That was the drill we were doing. So
remind me what volley means.
Well, it's just, as opposed to letting it hit the ground.
Oh, I see.
You know, so like in tennis, you know, as opposed to like the ball comes over the net, it bounces, and then you hit it.
Oh, you hit
the
it.
Ball comes over the net before it bounces, you hit it.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, so that would be kind of like, so soccer, the same principle can happen. And so I remember, you know, in my kind of arrogant way, I'm good at this, you know, kind of thing. And the first time, you know, it came, and I just swung as hard as I could, you know, try and whack the thing, and ended up in the car park, like, way down the way. And I realized somewhere in there that didn't work, obviously. But what was so interesting was exactly what you're pointing at. The next time I had an opportunity to do the drill, I slowed it down and took off the drive to kind of give 100% or shoot at 100% or whatever that thing was. And I realized that in that moment, I kicked the ball a lot less hard that first time. You know, it can actually be kicked pretty hard after a while, but everything fell into place. And it was like I just relaxed into it, and then boom, and I was able to kind of, you know, succeed, quote unquote.
Yeah, and we can have that experience like drying the dishes too, can't we? Mm-hmm. You know, just thinking about the difference between being in there and thinking about something that's not there and just kind of banging around, or being there and I'm sure you know this experience too, but you know, like you're drying the dishes and there's it's hard to describe, but there's it's like dancing kind of where the way that you're moving is kind of, I don't know, I can't describe it, but I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a flow.
It's flow. Yeah, that's a good word for it. Smooth.
Yeah, it is. I can totally relate actually if I'm following. Because there's like a grace and an ease in it, but everything's moving really quickly.
Uh-huh.
You know,
but it seems like it's moving slowly. Because the time spreads out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, that was yeah, I knew the sports references are just huge because that's, you know, I played basketball in high school as well. And that's what I really realized the other day was that I actually played in slow motion. And so it was amazing because the game was, of course, on, you know, it's always on fast forward. You know, that's what's happening. But anybody who's playing a fast forward game on slow motion, but still kind of there in that awareness, whatever, just it's an unlimited situation.
Yeah, that's why people play sports, I think, is to have those kinds of experiences.
There's one last thing I wanted to tie in because it's, and I want to just kind of say it publicly because it's the big thing I'm kind of working on right now. And there's something about this when you said like the 100% down to the 80% kind of thing and then the expanding of the awareness, and it kind of allows us to kind of be in that place. To me, it feels like my big practice focus right now, which is moving from focused on the detail, like viewing life from the details, moving outwards from there to try and get a bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been receiving support with flipping that such that it's seeing the bigger picture, and from seeing the bigger picture, then moving back down from there.
That informs the detail.
That informs the details. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I don't really have any, well, apparently I do have some experiences, but I'd say I have no skill with that, but outside of sports, I have, so it's kind of a practice place right now. And I'm realizing that, as you said what you did, that's kind of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when we pull back into that 80%,
mm-hmm.
we're able to see the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
And from that seeing the bigger picture place, then the technique and the details can start to inform the flow or the movement of the
mm-hmm.
body.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's really crucial because it's, you know, for me, I feel like it's been the opposite in mm-hmm. every bit of my life outside of the sports field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as that is kind of so 100% driven, getting back to the body, so driven on the details and focused on hard work, and yet, boy, just to pull back and kind of expand it out to the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really, the thing that matters most is the mind that it's happening in, isn't it? The mind that the action is proceeding from. You know, because like the one, you know, it's big, it's relaxed, it's spacious. It does seem like time really slows down. There's like time for everything, and it's amazing what happens. And the other one is so closed, and it's one pointed, but not in the one pointed that we talk about sometimes, like during meditation, which is helpful, which is, you know, a focus of attention within the field of awareness. It's a focus of something excluding awareness. And excluding that more spacious place, and we're not in sync, and so everything speeds up, and it's clunky, and we can't pay attention to things like the body.
Yeah. I even notice it in sharing in group, which is a big thing for me as well. And today, my intention was to see if it was possible to orientate towards that bigger picture, and everything you're saying right there. Of like depending on the mind it comes from,
mm-hmm.
speaks exactly to my experience of that, even right now sitting here in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really helpful.
Cool.
Thank you.
Jim.
Let's see. I want to talk about stickies.
Okay.
The discussion, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago about the project that many of us have for putting in ourselves little hearts or smiling mm-hmm. faces or stars for putting them on the calendar
for the recording. Yeah. Like I don't know if you're doing it in the same way, kind of like daily practices.
Yes. Yeah.
And then we get to, as a to upper motivation, we have little hearts and stars and things, and you know, we put them on there to. So we can, you know, kind of track how we're doing, but also give ourselves a little reward.
Yeah. So I was doing that, or self-hate was doing that for me. And I wasn't getting any stickies at all.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of blank days. And someone in that discussion said something, what I heard was, maybe I didn't get that thing done, but I got this other thing, that I had this awareness, or I did this kind thing, or I had this, I disidentified or something, so I'm getting a sticky.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It's changed my life.
Say more.
Well, I didn't see that it was, you know, there was a self-hate Nazi doing it. I didn't see it. Mm-hmm. You have to do these specific things.
Those are the only ones that count.
Those are the only ones that count. Those are the only ones that I'm going to cry. So I've seen through it, and I'm very appreciative. Mm-hmm. And my days are filled with sticky scars and hearts and smiling faces. Some days I only do one or two things of practices, but I get stickies and hearts and smiley faces for spending hours editing and designing a new book.
Yeah, there should be a lot of stickies.
for making this choice to take care of the body instead of that one, no, perhaps was not, wouldn't have been, it was sticky. Mm-hmm. And it's colorful, and we just finished February, and I couldn't take February down. I had to, I just moved it over so I could get to see. This happened in the middle, that discussion happened in the middle of February. So the first 2 weeks of February have nothing on them.
Wow.
And the last 2 weeks are just
filled. Like a rainbow. Wow. Well, I'll tell you, you have just totally motivated me, because I can see in mine it's too rigid. I need to have, I mean, it's good to have those reminders, but I need to have spaces, a big space for here's all the things that I didn't think of ahead of time that I did that were really great. Because that's basically what you're talking about,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And it's just taking that at the hands of this hate Nazi.
Yeah, and it's just without that, it's, I'm just looking at my experience, it's so set up for self-hate, because if it's too rigid like that, you know, life happens, you know, and sometimes it's not possible, or the, like, maybe, like, for example, there's a physical thing that I really want to do, but I don't feel good, you know, or something. And so, but then that ends up looking like a failure, because there's not, you know, you don't get the check mark or the sticky or whatever. But to have it be that, it's that small perspective and big perspective we were just talking about, which is interesting. But keeping in the whole thing in mind, here's everything that's going on, and here's everything I want to acknowledge about how great I'm doing in life and practice. Because otherwise it's just this little slice of it, and if it doesn't turn out perfectly, it looks like a failure.
Yeah. Yeah. And what we've been talking about on Sundays for a while now is that success failure structure that I get so caught in. Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes it's really gross, sometimes it's really subtle. But anytime I turn attention to it, I can see that some way success and failure is in there working. Mm-hmm. And so this is another way to punch a big hole in that.
Big time. Because it isn't about, like, even when you get a sticky, it's not like I've had a success as opposed to a failure, right?
Yeah.
It's just, I don't even know how to say it, it's just, yay. Just,
in that moment, I chose my heart, I get a star.
Sticky. Yeah, that is so cool. And it wouldn't be a failure if you hadn't.
No. And I don't wait for the end of the day, because I have a tendency at the end of the day not to be able to remember. Mm-hmm. Some of the stupid dust gets thick. Mm-hmm. And so it happens. If it occurs to me, boy, I'm there putting that sticker on there. Uh-huh. And
because otherwise condition just weasels its way in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when we were talking about taking care of the body, it occurred to me that the same process, the same self-hate Nazi talks to me about this body and how, and let's see, how I treat it. you know, it's a real puzzle. Not uniting, being one is a hard thing, you know, to talk about. But I can see anything that I eat, or any exercise I don't get, or any time I sit at the computer not in perfect posture, is just, okay, there's another whole calendar, and get black. Things on it, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's a pair of busy putting those black ones in there. There's no recognition of eating organically, eating vegetarian, going to the gym, going on walks.
You don't get credit for that. Yeah. I remember years ago, it was not too long after I got here, there was a book we had about vegan, you know, eating as a vegan. And I was the cook, and so I read it. And the whole thing is full of, here's all the reasons why this is a good idea and how good it is for you and everything. And then I don't remember any of those things, actually. although I could probably figure out what they were. But the very end, it was amazing, because the woman who wrote it, the last bit was, if you beat yourself up for not doing the things that I've offered, that's worse for you than doing all the things that I suggested. And it's just, that was really stuck. And I think it's true, isn't it? Especially like for the body. I mean, like that calendar full of the little black marks, I mean, it's just brutal on the body because of the stress and the punishment of that.
Yeah. And the deep belief that without that Nazi, it's just going to be Coca-Cola and potato chips every day.
And that's from what you were talking about earlier, that's clearly not the truth, is it?
No.
Left on your own,
left on my own, I eat potato chips every now and then.
Yeah, and because you like potato chips.
Yeah.
And it's not a big deal. But left on your own, I don't know how to say it. Like with the stickies you were talking about before, because I'm projecting, you're left on your own with that, without conditioning. And what comes out of that is, you know, you're lit up. You know, you're energized, you're excited, you're feeling good, you're doing a lot of great self-care, emotionally and probably physically too. So it's completely not true what's being presented. Another thing to be grateful for.
Discussion.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Susan.
Well, two things that come to mind. I was reading this parenting book once, and they were talking about how they train the whales at SeaWorld. And what they do is they put a rope on the bottom, and the whale swims over it like it does every day, and it gets a fish. So
okay.
They do nothing different. So it would be like our equivalent of just give ourselves lots of stars.
For things we're already doing.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it begins, the rope starts to come up, and then it starts to, you know, go over.
Oh, I see.
And then it starts doing all those tricks it does.
Uh-huh.
But the first thing is it just gets lots of good things for what it's already doing.
It has to understand that rope and fish go together.
Right. So it seems like if practice, if our commitment to being with whatever is in the moment, we just get a lot of stars for our willingness.
Yeah. God, that's such a good
point.
Wouldn't
that be good?
That reminds me of, I've heard Sherry say this many, many times, that, you know, you don't, when you come back to the moment, you don't come back to a beating.
Yeah.
You come back to thank you.
Yeah.
Or to, you know, way to go.
So wouldn't that be fun if as soon as we come back, we run to our thing and try to just look at them. This is such a different way of living. And then the other thing that I was thinking about. I just noticed a process that happened when people start talking about their relationship with the body. I sort of went unconscious. And I think that's about because I has always convinced me that it was animating me, so my relationship with my body was always from a place of I. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You probably trained to think this too, but there's a confusion that you are me. You are I.
Right.
And so,
and that I'm making my body move.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, as an, yeah, I was a tennis player, you know, any kind of athletic thing I ever did, I always believed I was doing it.
Right.
So as I got better at it, I believed it was because I was trying harder or mm-hmm. listening better.
Mm-hmm.
Except that there were those times, you know, with tennis especially, where you real, you know, you didn't do it.
Yeah, it's right. The zone.
Right, it's the zone. Uh-huh. But I didn't know how to name that, or I just thought it was cool, or and then I'd go back to doing my trying.
Yeah, that was cool, but I did.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it is that kind of, it's just what the ego does. You know, uh-huh. there we are, we have this thing, and right after it, it tells us that it made it happen.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And so I think it's this discussion has been really helpful because, thankful to practice for lots of practicing, I know that that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
And so, an opportunity to just be more aware of the gratitude part, and the, because my body seems to be changing too, and you know, just more cricks and aches. And
mm-hmm. So you understand now that you are not causing your body to move.
Right. And when I remember that I'm not causing my body to move, I feel more relaxed, mm-hmm. and the things that crick and ache actually relax, and they're not a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, oh, where'd that go?
Mm-hmm.
And then I can usually find it because it was a genuine thing, but it's not a problem anymore.
Yeah, and it's probably a lot of times a genuine thing because of spending time in conditioning.
Right. Oh no, what about? It's because I'm old, it's because I'm not doing this.
And then the body's going...
Exactly! Exactly! I mean, I just feel it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to, and the, you know, the marriage analogy just reminded me of being nicer in my marriage. Oh yeah, I am married, okay. I should be fine.
I saw a side benefit to
me. Okay, I know to be kind to my body, but nobody ever tells me to be kind to my body. Do, I guess, but
well, you know, it's funny too. I know you're going somewhere else, but it's really the same thing. You know, one process doesn't lead to another, as we say. You know, if you practice that in your marriage, that's good practice for being in for right. with your body, and vice versa.
Vice versa, because then I'm just practicing kindness.
Kindness, mm-hmm.
and then it just seems to spread. And then the thing that we were talking about that, or what I was looking at when we were kind of that lack of, like it's one, but it's not, but it is. It went back for me to I always say this, but that session I was on, you know, I haven't sent the email yet. I didn't get a star for that. But anyway, I really would
love. There's a star in your future, though.
There's a star in my future. It's amazing. I mean, I'm like, I'm going to do it on my way out. That way I'll make sure to get it done. And then it wasn't with me. And then, you know, you just forget. It talks you out, makes you forget what you were so, what I was so excited about.
Yeah, it's the master at that.
It is.
It's
just
amazing.
Because I think part of it is I've caught on a little bit to the self-hate part. Mm-hmm. So if it's making me feel bad about mm-hmm. something.
This is total aside, but I think we think we're a lot smarter than we actually are. We're kind of low on the evolutionary progression. We're kind of working towards something a little bit more advanced.
You know, this will take us to a different place, but I actually think you're right, because I have been looking, and this is completely off topic, but there is something that is really smart. You know, I know some really well-educated, smart people
mm-hmm.
that are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, just out there. Mm-hmm. And
sometimes we've been them.
Right! Mm-hmm. It's true. It is true. I know that place intimately. Mm-hmm. Because I like to identify as being really smart. But really...
crazy when you're thinking.
And I'm crazy because when I'm thinking that, I'm a me, I'm an mm-hmm. I, and I'm believing this whole story that feeds itself, that sucks the energy out of me.
Yeah, yeah. Which is normal behavior in the world, but we from here we can see that's totally nuts.
That's right. As mm-hmm. we're talking today, mm-hmm. and then I'll get my little car. Okay, I got
it. And it's gone.
It's gone. How can that be? It's just.
It's just amazing.
It's just we can either laugh or cry. So. So the thing is to use that vehicle that we talked about takes us into the moment, the body, and to be willing. I remember Sherry saying this, and then I'll stop, but I remember I was going to go give this talk. I got to preach at Santa Clara. I mean, this was years ago when I first met her. And I was telling her I was preparing, you know, for this sermon I was getting to give. And I said, I think I went to a workshop on a Saturday, and I was going to work all day, you know, on Sunday. And she said, Susan, you know, two things. She said, one, Jesus says the words will be given. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, yeah, you know, but...
if you're Jesus.
Exactly. Well, Sherry, you can maybe take Jesus seriously, but if you're a super Christian like me, you got to work really hard. Uh-huh. So she said that, and then she said, and you got to be willing to look stupid for the love of Jesus. Now, I sort of filed that back there in my home in my preparation.
Yeah, but years later, it's circled
back. I never forgot it, you know, because I knew what she said was true, and I knew I couldn't do it. I knew I was going to keep coming to these retreats and workshops until I could, until it would, just showing up seems to, I don't know, what's that called? Refine it away or take it away or...
And of course, you know very well, that's where the brilliance comes from.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dropping all that, that's where it can just really shine through. That's what moves people, I think.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Going back to the body thing. You know, when we're there, that which animates is animating. And we're comfortable with it. When I'm trying to be the good athlete or the good whatever, I leave that.
Doesn't happen.
I miss the balls. Or hit them too hard, or, you know. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, thanks.
Thank you. It's Quinn.
Willing to be stupid for the love of Jesus, man, that's good stuff. I can't get better than that. I mean, really, and it's just, it's that whole thing about, yeah, giving it up and being willing to be the fool and, you know, just not having to care about what it looks like.
Yeah, and, you know, if we step back, it's just, I mean, it's so obvious how intelligent that is.
Yeah.
And how kind of nutty it is to not, because where's the standards that were being applied to, and who really cares?
And, you know, and I see, and it's really one thing to get that intellectually, I really get it, but boy, to put it into action is just like
a whole
other thing. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to say, I just wanted to check in about the stickies. Because I was one who was sort of lagging on the stickies, and we had that conversation, and I got into it. And what I'm remembering is what Sherry said about, you know, we got to stop turning to conditioned mind to see how we're doing. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't realized really how often that was going on. And and the other thing she said about the stickies is that she only puts things on there that she really wants to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's key, isn't it?
It is so key, because even though I heard that, I saw myself starting to put down the things that I know were going to...
You should do.
They were just going to make me the right, perfect spiritual person, you know?
Boy, and there was all the fun out of it.
Yeah, really, really. You know, and at the end of the night, it's like, oh, God, okay, well, I got...
You know? It's 9 o'clock, but I still got the.
they hit the core, you know, the mark of being the good person. And I actually, after this conversation today, I'm going to go back and look again and just really, you know, get relentless about taking anything off of there that I don't want to do.
Yeah,
and not what, I, but you know.
And paying attention too. Like I was just thinking, you're saying that. Like I've got one, you know, one of mine is to stretch in the evenings, and then if I start thinking, well, how do you define stretch? how long? something's not right.
I can totally relate to that. It's like, oh, okay, yeah. I think if I just do that for 1 second, that would count, then I get a sticky, you know, because it's not defined. But there are some things that, you know, that like dancing. You know, for years and years, I've just had this belief that, you know, dancing is just a good way to move, and it just does.
And boy, that makes sense.
And
it?
I would just forget that day in and day out for years. So dancing is on there, and I just want to say that for the last 2 weeks, there's not been one day that I haven't danced. And you know, it doesn't matter if it's a short dance. but you know, it's because condition would say it has to be 15 minutes of yoga, It has to do. Yeah. It has to be a 10-mile run. It has to be these things that are going to benefit my body.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm just learning a lot about dancing,
cool.
It's just there's all kinds of ways to dance, and there's all different kinds of music inside and outside to follow, and it just feels like, oh man, it's just an amazing, loving thing that frees the body up in a way that I haven't gotten to with doing more structured,
Boy, I'm totally sold.
It's amazing. I mean, I started out with, oh, dancing means I have to put on really high energy music and I have to and then it was like, no, I could dance to a soft song. I could dance to my own song. I could dance, and so anyway.
And it sounds like fun.
It is really fun. And so, yeah, so I'm going to go back and look again, and everything's going through that litmus test of, is this something that the heart really, really is calling to do, or something that,
Yeah, well, it really is setting it up for success, isn't it?
It is.
And for fun, and everything that we're going for.
It is.
It's amazing how it just, conditioning can just kind of creeping in like the fog, sort of slowly changing it into something that is not what the intention was at all.
Yeah. And I'm totally up for putting a gazillion stickies on there if conditioning says you don't deserve one.
Mm-hmm.
Just drives it crazy. I think I give myself 100 stickies today just because I'm alive.
Yeah, one for every breath.
One for every breath. If I didn't do anything else, I'd live today.
We can all say this, I think, look at the choices that we've made in our lives.
Yeah.
Look at what we're attending to all day long, every day, what we're trying to let go of.
Yeah.
We are, I think I can speak for all of us, we are sincerely attempting to live the best lives we can, to be the best people we possibly can, to do the best job of contributing life we possibly can. To forget the whole context is happening in, and focusing on, well, I did that or didn't that, it just sticks.
That is the whole thing about turning to conditioning for input on how you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens when we do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, you didn't meet the standard, but God, everybody in this room and everybody really,
mm-hmm.
everybody out and beyond is just a really good person doing the best they can.
Yeah. We've already met the standard.
Mm. Already.
Just from the get-go.
I remember, I'll make this quick. I met a man who practiced Taoism. He was an older Chinese man. He was just this wonderful fellow. And he would just have open house. He'd make dinner every night, and whoever came to his house, he'd just feed them,
Wow.
He was just so cool.
That is cool.
And he said, you guys just don't get it. He goes, in Taoism, to be born human is you've already arrived.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, you don't have to, it's like you don't have to spend your whole rest of your life, like Mary Oliver says, walking across the desert on your knees,
mm-hmm. Repenting.
And repenting. Mm-hmm. It's all gravy. You just need to celebrate it and give thanks for it. You already got here. So.
Yeah, that would be a good t-shirt, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It's all gravy.
Make those new little baby, for new babies. Mm-hmm. Make little t-shirts for babies when they're born and hand them out of the hospital saying, after this, it's all gravy.
That's awesome.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you all.